Thought for today. I like me. I have immunity. I like me. I have immunity. I like me. I have immunity. What is immunity? Immunity is when we are totally, I don't like to use the word totally, when we are fully, I don't like to use the word fully, when we're in charge of ourselves. I like the illustration I heard of the jib that got loose. You have a sailboat. The sailboat has a mainsail, it's the sloop, and then it has a jib out in front. And the mainsail drives the boat and carries it forward. And the jib goes out in front, and you can have many types of jibs. You can have a standard jib, which is just like the mainsail, or you can have a balloon jib, which will gather great amounts of wind and carry you forward at tremendous speeds. But when a sailor is careless, he loses the line, and the jib line flies out, and the jib uselessly flaps in the breeze. The jib, which can do so much for the boat, carrying it to where it's going, give it power, give it strength, give it drive, give it beauty and magnificence as far as the sailor is concerned and as far as the boat is concerned. Once that line is released, then you have no control. Oh, you can sail with your mainsail, go along perfectly well. But the value of the jib, the beauty of the jib, the magnificence of the jib, the usefulness of the jib, it's lost. It just flaps in the breeze. Well, this is how we are when we don't have our immunity. You see, to be immune means that you're in control of yourself. You're in control of your thoughts. We like to say, I can do anything I want to do. And that's very true. We can. But if you haven't trained yourself so that you can walk on water, and then you go walking on water, kapach, you go down. You can do anything you want, anything you want. But if you haven't trained yourself to be master of the technique of walking on water, and it's just a technique. It's a technique to walk upright rather than on all four. It's a technique to speak rather than grub, 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 you know. Early caveman grunted at his neighbor. He had the capacity right from the beginning to speak, but he had not exercised it. He didn't know it. He didn't use it. He didn't develop it. We have the capacity to be master right now. No waiting, no long lines, no queues. Just move right up to the front and take your mastership and go. But we have the tendency to say to ourselves that we are superior to the rules. We are superior to the program we're engaging in. So we tell the teacher, I don't have to learn 2 times 2 is 4. I will be a great mathematician without it. And because we flaunt the rule, we do not become a great mathematician. We have the capacity. We have the capacity for all things, but we will never do it. You see, the rules are not for our mothers and fathers and not for the children. The rules are for whoever is willing to follow them. Oh, in all of us we have the rebel, in all of us we have the desire not to follow them, in all of us we have the desire not to do it. And those of us who don't follow them, we don't have immunity. What is immunity? Some people call it invisibility. Invisibility to the world. Invisibility to the law of cause and effect. Invisibility to all the things around us. But immunity is when whatever is going on around us, we are untouched by it. If disease and pestilence, if famine and poverty are going on around us, we're not touched by it. If abundance is going on around us, if joy and happiness and harmony and goodness and things like that are going, we're untouched by them too. We are only touched by who we are. You see, anything in the relative world is a joyous thing, good or bad. And if we are touched by it, then we are possessed by it. We can enjoy walking on water without being possessed by it. We can enjoy a whole body without being possessed by it. Many of you enjoy a very healthy body. It's your luck of having genes that you had, and it's your luck of having a family that fed you well and gave you vitamins and brought you up properly. You're just lucky. No, that's not true. You created yourself having good thoughts about your body, good thoughts about your health, good thoughts about yourself. And as long as you have good thoughts about yourself, you are immune to bad thoughts. You are immune to thoughts of being sick, thoughts of limitation about yourself. You see, immunity is another word you might say for self-discipline. It's another word for a master. It's another word for living, what we said earlier, all things are added unto you. You know, we look at life and we say, oh, I want this, I want that, I want this experience. And hey, these experiences come to us because they're there for us to have. You know, nothing happens in our life if we're not supposed to do it. Well, as I told one person, you're supposed to put your hand over the fire and let it burn, because that's a good experience for you. You know, it teaches you something. Well, you withdraw your hand quite quickly, because that's not an experience you want. Every experience should be not an experience we want. Every experience that we have should be an experience where we are the master. We choose it or don't choose it. We experience it or don't experience it. We like it or don't like it. It's not a matter of that everything is right for us and everything is good. Everything is right and everything is good. But perhaps, as we are learning to drive, to crash our car into a tree is not necessarily good. It's right, because we aimed at that tree and we didn't put our brake on, so we hit the tree. And it's right you should hit the tree. It's a law of cause and effect, you know? But it's not beneficial. Oh, maybe it is beneficial. Maybe you'll be cautious and never drive into a tree again. Or maybe you'll be dead too. You see, we don't have to play the games of humanity. We don't have to play the games of the world of cause and effect. We are, and we will, so long as we think we need something, we think that we must have certain rights and privileges. But when John told us about his mother and father, and the disparity between the two, how the mother would say, no, and the father would say, go ahead. How the mother would say, no, and the father would say, go ahead. How the mother would say, no, and the father would say, go ahead. John didn't learn any principles. He learned anything goes. If I'm with my dad, I can do one thing. If I'm with my mother, I can do another thing. And there's no principle. There's no principle. Now, he may have thought that was a charming experience to go through. But the charming experience to go through was, whose rules was he following? The rules of his mother or the rules of his father? His mother said, only two pieces of cake, and father said, eat all you can. Now, you see, he had the devil and the angel there. The devil was saying, go and enjoy. Go do anything you want to do. Pay the price. And the angel was saying, these are the rules that teach you self-discipline. If you're willing to learn them, you will have a very wonderful life. But you see, we learn confusion that way. We learn conflict. And it's not your family. It's every family. When the mother and father are at variance with each other, even lovingly, the children learn confusion. The children learn confusion. And until the wayshowers, till our parents, till our teachers, till our friends can come to terms with themselves, they'll not be beneficial to us, no matter how wonderful they are and how much we admire them, how much we love them. They're teaching us confusion. Now, is this what we want? Later in life, we're going to pay the penalty because we had never learned to be self-disciplined, never learned to make up our own mind. Oh, I was self-disciplined in this, I was self-disciplined in that. Yeah. Self-discipline doesn't mean in this and in that. Self-discipline means self-discipline. It means that at no time do you do anything which is going to be contrary to the rules that you have chosen to follow. And it doesn't matter whether it's driving a car against the speed limit or eating too much or anything else. It doesn't matter. Not, doesn't matter one little bit. The only thing that matters is, are you learning self-discipline? Because when you learn self-discipline, you arrive at self-discipline, you will be immune to everything in the universe. Everything, because it's an illusion. It's just a passing thing. But it's a training ground. You chose to come to this planet Earth. You chose to have these experiences. You chose to come to this monastery, for instance, for yourselves. And you chose to have the teaching that we're giving you. And you chose not to have any repercussions, because you'll make your own repercussions. You'll cut your own throat. I give everyone enough rope to climb into heaven or to hang themselves. And you'd be surprised how many hang themselves. You'd be surprised, because they think it's so charming and so unimportant that they hang themselves. Now, I tell you, I don't care about rules. I don't care about any rules. The rules were designed by you guys or your predecessors. It was designed, and now you're living them. The rules are really unimportant. It could be a contrary set of rules. It wouldn't make any difference what the rules were. All they are is just an opportunity for us to learn self-discipline. Now, I'm working with Ellen as strongly as I'm working with all the rest of you on these rules. And sometimes Ellen forgets too. Sometimes Ellen forgets that my role here is not a role of a member of this society, but as the person who challenges us. And I don't care. If you want to follow him, fine. If you don't want to follow him, fine. Now, each of you had an opportunity to be immune last night, and each of you chose not to be immune. And it was a charming little episode. I had to laugh inside myself because I thought, this is really interesting, really interesting. I gave each of you the chance to smell my jumpsuit and to tell me whether it was needing washing or not. And each of you smelled it the first time, and you didn't smell anything, but then you smelled it again, and then you said it needed washing. Well, it had just been washed. It had just been washed and was not worn. I carried it up to the monastery. I hung it behind the door because Ellen told me I must hang my clothes behind the door. And I gave you each the opportunity to smell it. Now, I've washed it this morning, and I'll give you a chance to smell it again. And perhaps you'll notice that it has my body odor, whatever my body odor is, I don't know. Do you know? Have you ever smelled my body odor? Have you ever smelled my bad breath? Have you ever smelled anything about me? Perhaps you have. But it's an immaterial, totally unimportant test. But if you cannot see purity in me, if you cannot see wholeness in me, if you cannot see immunity in me, how can you ever see it in yourself? Because I'm your sharer, I'm your teacher, I'm your way shower. I'm not you, I'm not God for you, but I'm just that little spark that's going out before you there, sort of leading you on and showing you, hey, if I said to you, If I said to you, if you will follow the rule, you can have anything you want in the universe. Anything. And be aware of having it. Be anything. Would you say, oh yes, I'll follow the rule? Quite likely. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all things are added unto you. The kingdom of God and its righteousness is self-discipline of your thoughts, self-discipline of your attitude, self-discipline of everything you do. It is total immunity. And then everything is added unto you. Every little joy that would tickle your fancy, you could enjoy. But you can't enjoy it because you're guilty. You're guilty of sin because you haven't first learned self-discipline. And you're going to have lots of opportunities not to eat, not to sleep, not to drink, not to walk, not to do anything or to do everything. You can have all the opportunities in the world. In the school of the master, we gave you the opportunity to stand. And immediately when the opportunity was given to you, you said to yourself, oh my God, how can anyone stand for days? Because you thought you were going to stand for days. You didn't stop and think. You were only standing for one instant at a time. One instant. Could you stand for an instant? You do it all the time. Stand for one instant at a time. Because you only live in the now. You would never have been tired. You would never have felt, oh God, if I could only lay down. And some of you did. Some of you fell flat on your face. And when I took you to the Swimex and said, lay down, the towel was cold, the towel was warm, you laid down. And you went, zuck, fast asleep. And when you woke up, after lying on tile, after lying perhaps in moist, damp area, you stretched out and said, oh, I feel so good. Not an ache or pain on your body, not hitting that hard tile with your bones. Not one ache or pain did any of you have, any of you. And yet, you didn't learn the lesson. I could have danced all night. I could have danced all night and still have asked for more. You could have stood all night. You could have stood all night and still have asked for more. If you were having fun standing, if you're having fun doing the things you're doing, and they're tests of your self-discipline. I don't get any joy out of having you do things. I get a great joy out of having you aware of your own self-discipline. But you don't hurt me by ignoring the rules. You don't hurt yourself either. But you don't help yourself. You just prolong your journey into self-awareness. You prolong your journey into your master awareness. Now you're here because you want to be aware of your master. And you are a master. But you don't know it. You don't know it. You pretend you're human. You pretend that when you have to go to potty, you have to go potty. I gotta go potty right now. I gotta go. And all you have to do is say, peace, body, peace. Relax. If you were on a bus where there was no John on the bus, you'd sit and hold it. If you were walking with a crowd of people through the museum and there were no restrooms handy, you'd hold it till you found one. You know it. If you're on an airliner and there's 20 people standing in front of the restroom waiting to go in and you're the 21st, you'd wait. You'd go back to your seat and say, I'm at peace. You see, we let our emotions, we let our human body, we let our physical self control us. And then we say, ha, 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 ha. Well, your physical body is saying, ha, 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 I won that one. I won that one. You didn't win it. You're not the master. I am. War comes along. You're frightened of it. Ha, 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 ha. War won. You didn't win. The wind comes along. You say, golly, I better get everything under cover. I surround this house with my pure white light of love. All is in divine order. The wind goes around you. Are you a master? Or are you missed? It's up to you. Are you immune? Are you immune to the world about you? You're immune to the world about you only when you are master of your thoughts. And the more you are master of your thoughts, the more self-disciplined you are, the more wonderful is the journey. The more wonderful are the experiences. Now we have Sylvia coming home today, and Sylvia's going to be living in this house for a while. And it's going to be my job to be her caretaker. It's going to be my job to get her ice, to take care of these details. It's going to be my job to make sure that she's comfortable, that she has her yogurt and other things that she feels she needs. It's going to be my job to make her feel happy about her healing. If I train her or work with her during this time, she's liable to take longer to heal. And I don't want her around here as an invalid. I want her around here as a whole and perfect person. So I will take the patience, the human patience, to do this for her. I won't get my own work done. I cannot listen to the radio. I cannot have any of the things going on that I normally have going on because I have to tend for her. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that that is something that each one of us do. We tend for the world around us because we feel we have a responsibility to it. And when we tend for it lovingly and kindly, see, I have no qualms about putting my work aside and taking care of another. I have no qualms about it. I have no qualms about standing and talking to each one of you for an hour now and then over whatever your need may be. And I don't want you ever to not come. But I have no qualms about it because you are number one with me, not our students. Our students are our game that we're all playing, how we handle them. Not the gist, you. Not anything running the campus or keeping anybody else happy, you. Each of you are my number one. My number one goal, my number one, whatever you need, I'm there for you. And I don't tell you you're wrong or I don't tell you you're right in anything you do. But I just say, what is your goal? If you're on the road to your goal and you take a wrong direction, I'll say, hey, this is the straight direction if you want to take it. No, I want to go that way. Go ahead. Here you are, and here's paradise. And you say, I want to be in paradise. I say, well, go to it. Okay, so you go around the opposite side of the world to come back to paradise, which is only 2 feet from you, because you want to do it your way. You want to go out and have adventures. You want to go out and live. You want to go out and have sex. You want to go out and have food. You want to go out and have all these adventures, all these wonderful things. And hey, that's cool. Nobody's saying going this way is wrong. If this way is wrong, it would not be there. Every way is right. But how eager, how sincere are you to walk your spiritual path? As many of you have told me, that's your number one goal. If it's your number one goal, then apply yourself to it with all your heart and soul and being. Be immune to all the relative world about you while you're walking your path. John would have liked to climb Mount Everest with his father when he was just a little boy. But his father said, you're not ready yet, son. And when John was ready, he climbed it. You see, I say to you, as you are going the opposite way around, you're not ready yet for paradise. Because you have other things that are more important. And that's all right. John had the growing up to do. He had the development of his body. He had the development of his mature mind, so that when he was doing this, what might be considered dangerous climbing, he did it intelligently. And so then he climbed wisely and went up and came down. A lot of people don't climb wisely because they haven't been trained. They haven't prepared themselves to do it. Many people there's a good click. Many people in an instant are aware of their mastership and they run away. They run away. Mark had a friend, Jeffrey Cordwright, great guy. He was studying Hinduism. And he was studying the chakras, and he was fully aware of them. And then he arose to the crown chakra, and he went out of his crown chakra. And he was out in the blackness. And he saw all of these things out there that he didn't understand. And it frightened him. And he dove back into his crown chakra. He dove back into his inner self because he wasn't ready. And yet he felt he was ready. He went there. He experienced the outer of his inner, but he wasn't ready. And he has never been ready since. Because he puts everything ahead of listening within himself. Whatever you do, if you put everything ahead of listening within yourself, you're not going to get there. You're there, but you're not going to know it. Because you're going to be frightened of it. You can be frightened and say, but I'm missing all the fun of life here. I am a young person, an old person, whatever it is. I should be out there having fun, jumping out of parachutes and doing all this other sort of silly stuff and wonderful stuff. Nothing wrong with it. But what is your goal? Do you want the kingdom of heaven and have everything be added unto it? Or do you want the everything in a little bit here and a little bit there and not have the appreciation of what you have had? I look at somebody like our friend Gregor and I say, oh, what a shame. He has everything, knowledge, wisdom, intelligence, he has a good body, he has a good mind, charming, desirable, just like John here. Fantastic. But he will not discipline himself. He will not discipline himself to love himself. To recognize that within him is all. In a click, he could be aware of it and leave behind all of these other attitudes that limited him. In a click, you too, John. In a click, you too, Anita. Ingeborg, I don't know about you. It might take two clicks, but in a click. And you too, Ellen. In a click. That's all it takes, a click. Same thing for Sylvia. Sylvia is so good in everything. But Sylvia doesn't know it. She thinks she is not good. And as long as she thinks she's not good, she limits herself. Now, why am I bringing up all these other people to you? Because they're you. They're you. You are all so good, so wonderful, so fabulous. But you don't realize it. You are obsequious. And because you're obsequious, you can never enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because obsequity does not belong in heaven. You know what obsequity is? False humility. Oh, let me kiss your foot. Oh, let me praise you. Oh, let me honor you. Oh, dear, let me put the dishes away. Oh, dear, let me do this. Let me do that. You don't have to make up to anybody. Just be aware of who you are. Don't kiss anybody's foot. Not even your own. Kiss your whole body and tell it how much you love it. That's a different thing. But to kiss it and say, come on now. I respect you. Love it. to think that you're going to gain respect by being obsequious. Look it up in the dictionary, too. It's a good word. Mr. Milquetoast is obsequious. And that's not what we want to be. Be very careful. Be very careful. Because sometimes you're obsequious with me. And you think that because you're belittling yourself before me, I'm going to say, oh yes, yes, my beloved. When you belittle yourself before me, I say to myself, where have I gone wrong? This noble, fabulous person belittling themselves before me. Gregor saying that he can't do things when he is doing them all. John saying he can't do things when he does them all. Ellen saying she can't do things when she does them with a snap of her finger. Ingeborg, talent oozing out of every pore of her being, but she thinks she doesn't have any talent. And Anita, talented gazoo, but she thinks she's not. She thinks that she has to give in to the world, and don't do it. The world is going to look for your lesser values, and you're going to look for your higher values. The world wants to put us all on a common denominator. The newspapers of the world are written in English understood by an eighth grade student, not by a college, post-college grad. You see, we don't want to be equalized. We want to be glorified. And we can only do that when we walk our spiritual path, when we claim who we are and enjoy it. You're fantastic. You are immune right now. You're immune to everything unlike your nature. So, accept it. Be self-disciplined to the final degree that you follow everything you have agreed to follow. And if there's anything you ever don't agree to follow, then go away. If you want to follow it, stay. If you make a mistake, then you would say, I goofed, I'm going to follow it. Fine. How many times do people quit smoking, you know? Good affirmation, I quit smoking, and then they go back to it again. I quit drinking, they go back to it again. I stop using drugs, they go back to it again. You ever hear people saying, I'm going to stop saying nice things about people? I'm going to stop being a nice person? I'm going to stop being a healthy person? I'm going to stop being a wealthy person? You're immune to that nonsense. And you're wonderful. And I love you.